بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض، منها أربعة حرم، ذلك الدين القيم، فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم، وقاتلوا المشركين كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة، واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين، صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, as the Mawsim and season of Hajj draws to a close, and many Hujjaj have already returned from the journey of a lifetime, and perhaps many who are still to return over the coming days, many of us will be waiting with eagerness to welcome, to meet, to greet the Haji, to listen to him recount and relate the tales of his journey, to make dua for him, to take dua from him. And at this juncture, we are reminded of the statement of the Salaf al-Salihin, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عَلَامَةِ الْإِيمَانِ, that in reality, it is a sign, an indication, a proof of iman within the heart of a person, that when he will meet the Haji, when he will listen to him recount the night in Muzdalifa, the days in Mina, the afternoon in Arafah, then a sense of sadness and grief will enter the heart. And the person will think to himself, how unfortunate that I was not able to present myself amongst the Hujjaj of this year. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having recognized this, taught us that before this feeling of sadness and grief develops and progresses to a feeling of envy, jealousy, and perhaps even enmity, when you meet the Haji, then immediately make dua for him. Before even asking him for dua, you make dua for him, because dua for a person is the antidote to envy and jealousy for that person. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a very beneficial, simple yet power-packed dua. Three short phrases that a person should offer as a greeting or as a dua to the Haji. And here ulama explain, one is that a person does an amal, an action, which is done to please Allah. He has sincerity, he does not have any ulterior motives, but he carries it out in his own style, method and manner. Undoubtedly Allah will look at his intention, and Allah will give him the reward and benefit of that action. But it is something else altogether when a person does the very same action, a good action to please Allah, he does it with sincerity, he does it for no ulterior motive, but this time he does it in conformity to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the effect, the benefit and the reward are worlds apart. And therefore, while we may meet the Hujjaj and make some dua for them in our own tongue, let us make an effort to learn the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before that, understand the meaning behind this. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when you will meet the Haji, then say to him first of all, قَبِلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكُ, that, O Haji, may Allah accept your Hajj. And this is teaching us, my dear brothers, that no matter how good an action a person may do, no matter how constant a person may be or consistent he may be in carrying out good a'mal, but in reality our actions will only become worthy and valuable when they are crowned with acceptance from the side of Allah. The entire community may call a person a musalli, but if that salah is not accepted by Allah, then in reality it has no worth and value. The entire country may call a person a haji, but if that Hajj is not accepted from the side of Allah, once again in the grand scheme, it does not have any value and worth. So the first phrase of this dua, O Haji, قَبِلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكُ, may Allah accept your Hajj. In other words, may Allah accept every step of your journey. May Allah accept your Arafah. May Allah accept your Mina. May Allah accept your Muzdalifa. May Allah accept your Safa and Marwa. And more important than this, may Allah accept you. One is the Amal of Hajj, which was done, carried out, and it's now over. But may Allah accept your Hajj to this extent, that now Allah accepts you to lead your life in a manner that is pleasing to Him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكَ. May Allah forgive your sins. This was the objective, this was the goal, this was the reason behind every step you took in the blazing heat. This was the reason behind every rand and cent that you had spent to go on this journey. This was the reason behind all the inconveniences you had to experience and undergo. Your goal, your objective was to seek forgiveness from Allah. وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكَ. May Allah forgive you. May Allah forgive every sin that you have committed prior to your Hajj. May Allah forgive the errors and shortcomings that you carried out, that you were guilty of during your Hajj. And may Allah forgive any errors and mistakes you may have made when returning from Hajj. May Allah forgive every sin of yours. And finally, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكَ. May Allah replace and substitute every cent that you had spent during this journey. Ask any haji, my dear brothers, who used his entire life savings to go for Hajj, and he will tell you within a short space of time, that very same amount, and in fact more than that, came back to me. So this dua we make for the haji, may Allah substitute and replace your expense, ulama say, not just monetarily, but everything that you spent for this Hajj, be it physically also. Every drop of sweat, every bit of energy that you had to use when you took your steps to fulfill your Hajj, may Allah replace that and give it back to you. In other words, we are making dua for this person's financial well-being, for his physical well-being, for his emotional well-being. These three statements, قَبِلْ اللَّهُ حَجَّكَ وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكَ وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكَ. One is, as we had mentioned, a person will greet the haji and make dua for him in his own way and style. He will get some reward. But by virtue of learning the sunnah dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the rewards will be worlds apart. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructs us that now that you have made dua for the haji, now don't forget to ask him to make dua for you. And many a times people ask that for how long will the dua of a haji be accepted? Is it for 40 days or is it for a certain time period? The reality is Allah accepts du'as at all times and any time. But according to one narration, ulama have mentioned, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when you meet the haji, then ask him to make dua a maghfirat for you. Ask him to seek Allah's forgiveness on your behalf. Why? Because his dua and especially his istighfar for others will be accepted according to this narration right up until the 10th of Rabi'ul Awwal, approximately 90 days from the day of Arafah. Allah will continue to accept, definitely accept this person's dua. So as the Hujjaj return, my dear brothers, let us make an effort to learn this masnoon dua. Perhaps we have already met them. Perhaps we have already spent some time with them. And perhaps we have not yet come into contact with those who have returned. We know when it comes to our dunya, when it comes to our line of work, when there is any advancement in technology, when there is something new that has come into the field, then despite at times our advanced age, we make an effort to learn that particular thing. Because we know that this will stand us in good stead as far as our business is concerned. Let us also make that very same effort to learn the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then see the tremendous reward that we will accrue from the side of Allah. But having said this, my dear brothers, as we are aware, and especially perhaps in our country, the number of hujjaj in proportion to the remaining Muslim community is very small and very low. Perhaps in a masjid of 500 to 600 musallis, there will be just one or two that got the opportunity and will now return. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a rich and rewarding deen, that even that person who was not given the opportunity to go for Hajj, he remained behind until the days of Hajj came and went. Allah still presents us with opportunities on a daily basis to secure the reward of Hajj. And when we look through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find various different actions and a'mal that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam taught the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that that person who will engage in these actions, or just one or two of these actions, then the reward that he will secure will be the reward of the Haji. Of course, before going on, my dear brothers, it goes without saying that this does not in any way dilute or downplay the essence of Hajj. The physical journey of Hajj remains the pinnacle. It remains number one on the bucket list of every believer. And it remains the obligation upon those who have the means to go for Hajj. But these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are there as an encouragement for those of us who remain behind during this season of Hajj. And together with this, for the returning Haji, that you are now given an opportunity to secure this reward every single day. The hadith of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, which appears in Abu Dawood, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man kharaja min baytihi mutatahhiran." That person who leaves home in the state of wudu, ila salatin maktuba, his destination is the masjid to perform his fard salah. Just on the simple amal of making wudu at home, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, falahu ajrun, this person will secure reward ka ajril hajjil muhrim, equivalent and equal to the reward of the haji in the state of ihram. Just a simple change in mindset. Many a times, unfortunately, we find the mindset is such, the wudu khana is in the masjid, I might as well make my wudu in the masjid just before my salah. This will be safer for me. Yes, if a person has a problem, he is unable to keep his wudu for a lengthy period of time, then there is no problem with this. But the original method of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and thereafter was that a person makes wudu at home. And here ulama explain what is the wisdom behind this. A seemingly very simple action, but look at the tremendous reward Allah is prepared to give. What is the wisdom, the hikmat behind it? It is not just making wudu at home, but this is showing Allah my readiness for salah. I am preparing for salah before the time of salah. I am leaving home with one goal, one objective in mind. My destination is the masjid. My destination is my fard salah. Allah looks at this entire package and says, this person deserves the reward of the haji in the state of ihram. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the narration of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. That person who comes to the masjid, man salla fi jama'atin, he performs him, man salla al-ghadata fi jama'atin, he performs his fajr salah in the masjid with jama'at. Thumma qa'ada yadhkurullah, and then he remains behind after the salah. He makes, engages in the dhikr of Allah, in whichever way or form. Perhaps he is making tilawat of Quran, or he is taking the name of Allah, he is engaged in dua, he is making some tasbihat. Hatta tatlu'a ash-shams, until sunrise. Thumma salla raka'atayn, then this person, when it is now time to leave, the sun has risen, it is time to start the business day, the phone starts to ring, and all of his tasks and duties are clouding the mind. He sacrifices even further and he stands up and reads two rakats of salah. What we call salatul ishraq. For this person also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, kanat lahu ajrun ka ajri, kanat lahu ka ajri hajjatin wa umratin. This person also will secure the reward of one hajj and one umrah. At this juncture, we can imagine, my dear brothers, Sahaba radiallahu anhum would have been absolutely amazed that this is something which is part of our daily routine. We are coming to the masjid. We do remain behind for a short while thereafter. To read two rakats of salah is no big deal. How is it that we are securing such a great reward? O Nabi of Allah, will he get the reward of a complete hajj, a complete umrah? Or perhaps it's just a portion of the reward. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasizes, tamma, tamma, tamma. He will secure the reward of a complete hajj and umrah. But there is more to this, my dear brothers. Ulama say, let us look at the effort behind hajj and umrah. The haji leaves. First of all, he has to ensure that his name gets called, or that the opportunity is there for him. When he finds that his name is there, now he's got to see whether he has the funds. Many a times, it's the savings of an entire lifetime. At times, the woman will sell her jewelry. The husband may sell some valuable possession of his. At times, people have had to sell their vehicles or sell their home. So already there is sacrifice from a financial point of view. Then the entire journey of booking his package, he's got to deal with the travel agent, he's got to deal with those who are traveling with him. It is not an easy journey by any means. He is away from home. Many a times he has had to leave behind his children. At times husband and wife are separated, parents and children are separated. At times the accommodation is not to his liking. The weather is not to his liking. There are crowds of people. Almost every step of the way there is some difficulty, or for lack of a better word, some inconvenience. The haji bears all of this. And then too is instructed by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that bear all of this without complaining. Make shukr to Allah, be happy that you have this opportunity. He goes through this entire journey from 6 or 7 weeks before he is sacrificing. He sacrificed his wealth, he sacrificed his time, he sacrificed his children to leave them behind, he sacrificed his own comfort, and he completes his entire hajj. And the haji is still making dua, O Allah, accept this from me because I don't know if it will be accepted. I don't know if perhaps I did something incorrectly or something slipped my mind and I did not carry it out in the way it was supposed to be carried out. I don't know if my intention was correct. I don't know if my du'as were accepted. So he is hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this hajj of his. And here we have a person who is at home. He is not out of his comfort zone. He doesn't have to leave behind his family and children. He doesn't have to spend a cent. All he does is remain behind for a short while in the masjid. And he is getting the reward, guaranteed reward of an accepted hajj and umrah. Can we imagine the magnanimous and generous nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Thirdly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and to take it up one level, the narration of Abdullah bin Amr radiyallahu anhuma, man sabbaha Allah mi'atan bil ghada wa mi'atan bil ashi, that person who will make the tasbih of Allah 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening. And if we have to calculate this, perhaps a person will be able to complete one tasbih merely walking from the first saf back to his car. He doesn't even have to use the drive home to complete one tasbih. 100 times subhanallah, or alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, kana kaman hajja mi'ata marra, it is as though he has performed hajj 100 times. For one tasbih, he will get the reward of hajj. Can we imagine the return on this investment, my dear brothers? A person is told there is some investment. You put in a certain amount, you will get 20% back. Which of us won't jump at that? An opportunity of a lifetime. It sounds too good to be true. Here Allah says one tasbih, which will take you 1 or 2 seconds. And what is the return on the investment? You got the reward of an entire hajj. And then finally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. He says, O Nabi of Allah, inni ashtahil jihad wa la aqdiru alayhi. That, O Nabi of Allah, I have a yearning desire to go out in jihad, but unfortunately I do not have the means to do so. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, Hal baqiya min walidayka shay o ahad? Is any of your parents still alive? So the person replies, yes, O Nabi of Allah, my mother is still living. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, show Allah your dedication. Show Allah your intention in obedience to your mother. If you will do this, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to him, فَأَنْتَ حَاجٌ وَمُعْتَمِرٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ O my Sahabi, you will be a haji. You will be a mu'tamir who has performed Umrah. You will be a mujahid. In other words, you will secure all of those rewards in obedience to your mother or to your parents. This is something, my dear brothers, unfortunately our mindset has become such that many of us still feel that obedience to parents is something restricted to our childhood or youth. It is an advice that we will give to youngsters that ensure you listen to your parents, don't disobey them, take their feelings and emotions into consideration. But many a times we feel that once we become parents ourselves, then this no longer is applicable to me. The books of the Salafus Salihin are replete with incidents of those who, despite their own advanced age, continued to show respect and obedience to their parents, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them from strength to strength in this world. Just one incident that I will share with you. A few years ago, a person had mentioned to me, he says that my children were growing up and I was in the family business with my father. My father was at an advanced age, very set and firm in his ways, not prepared to see anything differently. And I would become frustrated on a daily basis when he would make decisions unilaterally in the business. He would not consult me. And in fact, when I would show him certain things, then he would not give any consideration to what I would say. He didn't want to listen to me. And I could see in front of my own eyes our business losing profits and losing money. So he says this frustration built up within me until it reached a point where I could take it no longer. So I went to some pious person, some buzruk, some alim, to make mashwara with him, how do I approach this situation? He says the response that this person gave me, he says, listen, Allah did not send you into this world to accumulate wealth. Allah sent you into this world to earn His pleasure. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رِضَ الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ, the pleasure of Allah will be secured in pleasing one's father or one's parent. Therefore, you make this intention every day when you leave home, that I am going to work today not necessarily to earn wealth. I have enough, alhamdulillah, the bills are being taken care of. But my primary intention here is to please my father. He says, when this mashwara was given to me, I had no words left to say. I was left speechless. And I knew that I had made the mashwara, I will have to follow it. So for a number of years, I bit my tongue, I suppressed myself, and I went along with every decision that my father made, and I continued to see our business leaking and leaking and leaking. There were opportunities for investment which we had missed. There were opportunities to gain a greater market share, we missed that. But my father was happy with me. This person narrates the incident many years later. He says, my father then passed away, I inherited everything. The business came to me, the house came to me. He says, Maulana, I sit here today and I can say without any doubt, Allah has given me 10 times the amount I could have hoped for. The barakah, the blessings, and the increase that Allah has shown me in my business, in my home, in my family, is something that I never dreamed of in those years. He says, I have yaqeen and conviction. Allah gave this to me on account of my obedience to my father. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this sahabi, your mother is alive, obey her, take care of her, serve her, show Allah your dedication by being obedient to her. فَأَنْتَ حَاجٌ, you also will be like the haji, you also will be like the mu'tamir, you also will be like the mujahid. Allah has given us opportunity day after day, my dear brothers. We may have not been there for the physical hajj. Allah make it such that He calls each and every one of us. But Allah has still given us an opportunity every day of our lives. Ulama say Allah is willing to give, but are we willing to take? And especially during this period of the year, my dear brothers, as the season of hajj draws to a close, together with this, the Islamic year will come to an end. There are just a few days left, and then we will be sighting the moon for the month of Muharram. Although the concept of a new year resolution is something alien to Islam, but taking advantage of the opportunity, we find it is human nature that a person looks for some event before he makes a change in his life. No youngster ever started his diet on a Wednesday or Thursday. He'll wait for Monday. So therefore, the coming of the Islamic New Year represents an opportunity for us. Now is the time for me to put my head down. If I was genuine in my desire and my yearning to go for Hajj, if I still have that sense of sadness within me, that despite my best efforts, I was unable to be on that flight, and I was unable to present myself in Arafah, Mina, and Muzdalifah, then it is now upon me to show Allah my sincerity. Take advantage of these a'mal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to top it all, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah has mentioned, after mentioning and quoting all of these different actions, he then says that I have come to the conclusion that there is something that supersedes all of these actions, something that is more important than each and every one of these nafil actions, be it Salatul Ishraq, be it the aspect of making wudu at home and coming to the masjid, or tasbihat morning and evening. He says, what is more important than this is for a person to fulfill his fard obligations to Allah. And then he quotes the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is nothing more beloved to me, and there is no action by which my slave will become closer to me than those things which I have made obligatory upon him. Whether it be his 5 daily salah with jamaat in the masjid, his fasting during the month of Ramadan, the obligations that he has and the responsibilities he has as far as his family and children are concerned, as far as his dependents are concerned, the rights of his neighbors, the rights of his employees, those things which Allah has made obligatory upon a person. He says this supersedes and overpowers every other nafil action. If a person will do this at least, he too, I have hope, Allah will grant him the reward of the haji as well. Allah has given us these opportunities, my dear brothers. We have every day the chance to secure the reward of Hajj. As we had mentioned, when an investment opportunity is given, no person will sit back. We will make every effort, not just for myself, but I'll tell my family and friends about it also. Don't you see the returns that you will get on this? Allah is giving us unmatched returns. Just a small investment, there is no minimum amount. Read 1 time tasbih, read 3 times, 5 times, whatever little you are able to manage. Allah is Al-Kareem. We will terminate on this. Ulama explain who is Al-Kareem. Alladhi yu'ti, that being who gives, biduni istihqaqin wala minna, that being who continues to give, despite the recipient not being worthy. We are unworthy recipients. Our actions are not up to scratch. But Allah has given us such a beautiful and rewarding deen. These small actions which a person will do and engage in, as long as there is consistency, a person does it with sincerity, then undoubtedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the person all of these rewards. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.